If you spent part of your weekend buying or setting up a Christmas tree, commentator Stephen Ivory thinks he knows at least a little bit of what you were thinking.
I haven't had a Christmas tree in maybe 20 years. Doesn't mean I don't like Christmas trees, only that, like a really cool relative who'd come to visit when you were a kid, I hate to see them go. Anyone who grew up with a Christmas tree has had pivotal Christmas tree moments. The first tree you remember as a kid, the first one in the place shared with a romantic partner, the first tree with your own child. There's the tree earmarking the first Christmas after a major illness, the I Will Survive tree after a breakup. These trees go into the Christmas Tree Hall of Fame of our consciousness, and subsequent trees, I truly believe, we decorate in honor of past seminal tree moments, hoping to recapture a feeling. I start thinking tree the week after Thanksgiving, because that's when Mama used to get ours. I remember my forearms and legs being scratched from the pine when we'd walk the thing the four blocks home from Safeway. A Christmas tree becomes a member of the household, an enchanting presence that delights the children and bewilders the pets. If it could talk, that tree might have something to say under its pine breath about what you wore to work. It might have stern words for your mischievous kids, and perhaps something wise and comforting for quarreling lovers. At the end of its tenure, it might be able to hum any number of Christmas carols and Al Green songs. That bonding wouldn't delay our tree's departure, not one day. Come New Year's morning, Mama would bring out the vacuum, anticipating needles bound to shake loose as the tree resisted eviction. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but it was a fake tree with which we commemorated our first Christmas after Mama's sudden passing when I was 15. After Mama left, I never cared much about having a tree. I still felt that way years later as a struggling 20-something writer one particular holiday season. I'd just moved out of the apartment I shared with a former girlfriend and into a cozy street-level efficiency that I couldn't afford. And you couldn't front with Dusan, my well-meaning but no-nonsense old-world Yugoslavian landlord. He'd inquire about the rent right in front of my guests. One evening, I heard his car drive up and quickly turned down my music. He knocked and knocked, and I pretended I wasn't home. An hour later, I opened my door to leave, only to find standing on my doorstep, like a hopeful orphan, a 5-foot-tall Christmas tree. I looked around, examined the tree, and brought it inside. The first day, I tried not to become attached. But the next morning, I scrounged up enough change for Woolworths and bought a few ornaments, a string of lights, a tree stand, some icicles, and a star for the top. I'd been determined not to celebrate Christmas, but Christmas had found me. My tiny abode looked and smelled like the holidays, the tree itself being the greatest gift. I couldn't thank Dusan until January when I had all my rent together. He gave a slight smile. "You are welcome," he said, and walked away. Apparently, it didn't matter to Dusan that I owed rent. To him, I just looked like a guy who might appreciate a Christmas tree. And yet another pivotal tree moment. The first tree that someone gives you.
Stephen Ivory is author of Fool in Love, One Man's Search for Romance, or something like it.